You know, I don't know why people have to make up stories, because there's so many good stories that are in the Bible. Exciting stories, stories that just have a lot of wonderful and neat things that happen in them, that if you just, you know, read the story, study the story, and really understand what goes on, it's just so interesting, the things that God did in dealing with people. There was a king named Belshazzar, who I think was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And it tells us in that the first part of the chapter that we didn't read, that he gave a party for 1,000 of his lords. And it was at the palace in Babylon. And Babylon ruled most of the world at that point. It was a very rich nation. And during the party, this king commanded that they bring the gold and silver vessels that were taken out of the temple in Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Jerusalem, had destroyed the temple, and looted the temple before he destroyed it, and brought back a lot of the gold and silver vessels that were used by the Jews to worship their God. And at this party, where there was a lot of alcohol, wine, things like that served, after they all got drunk, he said, "I want you to bring the stuff that's in the storerooms out." And they brought it out, and they actually drank out of those holy, sacred vessels. And as they did, the Bible says they praised the gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone. Praised all the other gods, and Babylon was a nation that worshipped many gods. And so they not only brought reproach on the name of the true God, but they used the vessels that he had set aside to worship him, to worship other gods. And it was at that particular time in the party, the part that we read about, that there came forth fingers of a hand. Now just think about that, just fingers of a hand, and began to write on the wall. The king saw it, as did all the other guests, and you can imagine what it did to their party spirit. It sort of killed it. I think they instantly became sober. And they all got scared. In fact, Adam read it, the king got so scared that his joints became loose and his knees started knocking together. And he was frightened. And so he brought in all his wise men and said, "Somebody's got to tell me what these words mean. I don't know what the words mean. And anybody that tells me what the words mean, I will clothe him in a robe of scarlet. I will put a chain of gold around his neck, and he'll be the third ruler in the kingdom. He'll be the third one in charge." And all the king's wise men came in, and they read the words, many, many, tekel, Euphrates, and they couldn't figure out what the words meant. And the king was perplexed, and the queen came in. And she said, "There's a man in your kingdom who in your father's day helped your father understand what dreams mean. If you call him, his name is Daniel, if you call him, he will tell you what these words mean." And so the king called Daniel in, and Daniel looked at the words, and he said, "Yeah, I'll tell you what they mean. I'll tell you what the words are, and I'll tell you what they mean. But before I do, I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you about the time your father, Nebuchadnezzar, got so proud that he didn't think he needed God. He got so proud that he turned, that he began to think that he could do everything himself, that he didn't need God. He got to looking at all the things that he had made and all the lands that he had conquered and all the people that he ruled. And he got so proud that God had to do something to remind him that he still needed him. That he still needed God. And you remember, Belshazzar, what God did. He took your father's reason away. And he went and lived with the animals for 7 seasons. His fingernails grew like claws and his hair became real long. And for 7 seasons, he lived on the earth eating grass with the dew on the morning coming up upon his back. And for 7 seasons, he lived like an animal. And then his reason returned. And the first thing he said was, "I acknowledge that God is God. I acknowledge that I need God." And he went back to his kingdom and he became king again. And from that day on, he acknowledged and worshiped the true Jehovah God. And Daniel said to Belshazzar, "You knew that. You saw it. You experienced it. You were in the family. You were in the palace when all that happened. And yet you have come to the same point that your father did. You have come to the point where you think you don't need God, that you can get by without God. Let me tell you the message, the telegram that God has sent to you today. It said, meaning, God had numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Prez, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And as Adam read in verse 30, that same night, Belshazzar was killed, and the Medes and the Persians took over the kingdom of Babylon and ruled in its place. You say, oh, that is a neat story, preacher, but what does it have to do with us today? Well, hundreds of years ago it happened, and it paints a good picture about a man that did not learn a lesson that he should have learned. Well, what does that mean to us today? I'll tell you what it means to us today. I think there's a lot of people in today's world that are getting a message just like Belshazzar got because they never learned the lesson that they needed God. And so this morning I want to just remind you of five things as I preach on the subject, a lesson not learned. A lesson not learned. Number one, our pride says we can get by without God. That's what Belshazzar was saying. The king of Babylon, a mighty and rich nation that ruled most of the then known world. His subjects was taxed. Not only was the kingdom rich, he was rich as an individual. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon was one of the seven wonders of the world. It had a ceiling that was 1,650 feet wide and a mile long. And in that ceiling grew all sorts of plants and flowers and vines. And it was just, as you walked into that hall, it was the beauty of it just overwhelmed you. And that's why they designated it as one of the seven wonders of the world. And I'm sure Belshazzar went in there often and said, hey, look at this. Look at, just like his father did. Look at everything that I've got. Look at everything that I've done. Look at everything. I mean, I don't need anybody to take care of me. I don't need God. Look at all the wealth that I have. It is going to last forever. And the same thing is true, I believe, in our nation today. There are a lot of people that have taken that same attitude because God has blessed us in such a material way. And God has blessed us with the natural resources and the system of government that we have. And we sang this morning as we started out, count your blessings. Anybody born in the United States of America could count their blessings over and over and over and over again. And compared to people that live in other parts of the world, we have more blessings from the hand of God than any other nation in the whole world. But what has happened to us? We have become proud. We have come to that point where many, many people say, I don't need God. Look at everything that I have. Look at everything that I have done. Look at everything that I can depend on. I don't need God. I don't need Him watching out for me. And I believe the things that are going on in our country today are God sending a telegram to us, a message to us that says, oh, yes, you do. You still need me. Don't you ever think that you don't need me. Don't you ever think that you don't need a God that watches out for you. I think he sends those messages to individuals. I think that's why sickness sometimes come. I think that's why disease sometimes come. So that we will be reminded that we need God. I think that's why economic troubles come. I think that's why wars come and the natural disasters that we're seeing today in the world. You say, preacher, you think it's getting close to the end of time? Yes, I do. I think Jesus could come back at any time. But before he comes back, I think God is sending us a message that says, don't forget, you still need me. Don't ever think that you can get by without a God in heaven watching over you. And if we're not careful, our pride, even as Christians, we'll forget that we need God every single day and every moment of every day. The Bible says, pride goeth before a fall. And we need to be careful that we never, ever get to the point in our life that we forget that we need God. Number two, That false sense of security leads us to treat the sacred lightly. These cups and vessels that Belshazzar brought out of the storehouse, they were the vessels that were used in the temple. They were the vessels that God instructed his people to use as they worshiped him. I mean, they were for the priest to use. And they were to be used in acts of worship. They were sacred things. They were holy things. They were things set apart by God to be used by his people that to worship him. And because Belshazzar had so much pride, and because he didn't think he needed God, he said, it doesn't matter that they're holy. It doesn't matter that they're sacred. It doesn't matter that they were set aside to be worshipped a god. I'll use them as part of the party. It'll be a neat thing if we brought them in and we drank wine and other beverages out of those vessels. And he treated the things of God with disrespect. I think the same thing is being done today. I think there are people today that are treating sacred things very, very lightly. There are people today that are taking sacred things and not giving them the reverence that they're due. I think there are people today that are treating the matter of salvation lightly. They have so much pride, and they think they have so many things that they can depend on. And they hear the gospel, and they hear that they're a sinner. And maybe in a weak moment, they will admit that they're a sinner. And maybe they'll say, yeah, I've committed sin, but I don't need God. Look at all this other stuff that I got. Look at all the things that I've done. Look at all these possessions that I have and the money that I have in the bank. I don't need God, and I don't need his salvation. And they treat it lightly. And there's a verse in Hebrews that says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And I'll just tell you something. I still believe the Bible when it says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And what God will try to do to those people that think they don't need him and don't need his salvation is that he will knock the props out from underneath them. He will take away the things that they've gathered, the things that they're depending on. He will take away their health, and he will get them to the point where he wants them to look up into heaven and say, God, I need you, and I need your salvation. Forgive me for not paying attention to it. Forgive me for not receiving it. I need it. You say, boy, God's awful mean when he does that. No, he's not. He's a God of love. You may be poor and sick on this earth for 80, 90, or 100 years, but if you get saved and go to heaven, you're going to live in heaven forever. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. If God leaves you alone and you reject the gospel because you're depending on everything that you have, and you reject the gospel, you're going to go to hell and spend eternity in hell and burn in the fires of hell. What would you do if you were God? I think if you had any caring in you at all, if I had any caring in me at all, we would do the same thing that God would do. We would take away all the things that people depend on and all the things that people lean on and say, no, you're not going to depend on that. You're not going to lean on that. You need to depend on me and lean on me. And that's what God does. But even we as Christians, I think, sometimes take sacred things lightly. And again, it goes back to our pride. It goes back to thinking that we know as much as God does, and that God can't help us, and that God can't teach us anything new. There are people this morning that should be here that are not, that could be if they wanted to. I know there's some people that can't because of circumstances, but there are some people that should be here this morning that are not. And they have taken something sacred. Look, I don't know about you, but I consider the time we spend in church on Sunday morning and the time we spend in church on Sunday night and the time we spend in church on Wednesday night as sacred times. These are times that God has set aside for us to gather as a church family. These are times that God has set aside so that we could come and be encouraged and instructed and rebuked and all the things that happen in this place. And God has ordained this time and given us this time. And there are people that should be here this morning that are not, that are taking it lightly, that are saying, no, I don't need that fellowship, and I don't need that instruction, and I don't need that rebuke. And again, it's their pride coming out and say, God, I know everything I need to know. Now, if little Chloe said that to Grandma and Grandpa back there, hey, you don't need to teach me anything else. I know everything I need to know. I know what Grandpa and Grandma would do. They'd pat her on the bottom and say, oh, no, you still need to learn a lot. And I think that's sometimes what God wants to do to us as his children, is to pat us on, and he does. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Look, you will graduate from your education on this earth given by God when he takes you to heaven. While you're here, he's got things to teach you. I don't care how old, how young you are. God's still working on you. He's still working on me. We treat it so lightly. We treat this book lightly. We treat this book lightly. It's the Word of God. This is the Word of God. The word that God wants us to have, our instruction book, the book that teaches us how to live our life. And I'm not going to ask you to do it out loud, but how much time have you spent in this book this week? How much time have you spent reading and studying and meditating on this book? It's God's word. It's God's word. And we go hours, and we go days, and sometimes we go weeks, and the only time we open this book is on Sunday morning and Sunday night to follow along when we have the scripture reading. It's our pride that's coming out, that's saying, oh God, you can't teach me anything else. Oh, no, no. No, no. He can. He can. Every single day. I got to hurry. Number three, judgment will come. Came suddenly for Belshazzar. He got a telegram from God. Written on his wall. And the night he got the telegram, he was killed. His kingdom was given to the Medes and the Persians. The Bible says, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. You hear this morning and you've ignored salvation because you don't think you need God. I got news for you. Judgment is coming. It's coming. And when it comes, it will seem sudden. I mean, I've been around relatively young people, and I've been around relatively old people when they've taken their last breath, and it doesn't matter. They both think it's so sudden. It's so sudden. So sudden. And that's the way the punishment of God is going to come. It's going to be sudden. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. God knows that if you put off getting saved today, the next time it's going to be harder, and the next time it's going to be harder, and one day your heart will be so hardened you won't be touched by the gospel anymore. Judgment's coming. The wages of sin is death. Don't you think that, and I know a lot of churches teach and preach today, well, God's a God of love, and all that stuff the Bible says about hell, yeah, it's just in there to scare you. It's not really true. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's true. There is a hell. And those that die and leave this earth without knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's where you're going. There is no second chance. There is no way that you can get out of hell and get into heaven after you leave this earth. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to do it today. Even for Christians, judgment coming again, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And we need to make sure that we're not treating the sacred things that God has given us lightly. Number four, God has warned us. He's warned us. Belshazzar got a warning. His warning came in what happened to his father, Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he was there when Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. He was there when he went out and lived with the animals. He was there when his reason returned to him, and he came back and said, now I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is God. God is God. He was there. He saw that. What more of a reminder would you need? What more of an example would you need? What more of a lesson would you need to be taught that if the pride in my heart says I don't need God, look at what God will do to get my attention. Look at what he did to my father. Look at what I saw it. I experienced it. I witnessed it. I should have learned that lesson, but he didn't. In the same way, God has warned us. He's warned us through this book that we need to be saved. He's warned us through all the Sunday school lessons that we've listened to, all the preaching that we've heard, all the examples of people that God has put in our life that we need to live for him, that it pays to live for God, that the way to be happy on this earth is to trust and obey. No other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And God has told us in this book, and he's told us in the examples of people around us that the things of this earth one day are going to burn up. The things of this earth one day are going to be worth nothing. But the treasures that we send on to heaven are going to last forever and ever and ever and ever. And that's why Jesus said, don't lay your treasures up down here. I mean, moths will come in and eat it, and thieves will steal it, and it'll rust and decay. But the treasures you send on up to heaven, they're going to last forever. And we have that warning. We have that instruction from God. And I think sometimes God in heaven scratches his head and says, what else do I need to do? What else do I need to tell them? What kind of other instruction do I need? Why do they still think they can get by without me? And God, over and over and over again, sends the message and warns us. And then number five, the decision is ours. Belshazzar had a choice. When Nebuchadnezzar went through all the things that he went through, he could have decided, I'm going to live for God. I learned from my dad, Nebuchadnezzar. I saw what God did to him. I'm going to learn my lesson. I'm not going to repeat the mistake that dad did. I'm not going to get to that point in my life, even though I live in and I'm the king of Babylon, and even though I have all these riches, and even though I can banquet in one of the seven wonders of the world, it doesn't matter. The things of this earth doesn't matter. What matters is my relationship to the God in heaven. And Belshazzar could have said, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to need God. I'm going to lean on God. He had a choice, and he made a bad choice. We have a choice today. You're here today and you're not saved. You have a choice. Are you going to accept Jesus or reject him again? Are you going to accept the salvation that God has so freely given and paid for? Or are you going to walk away from it again? And I beg you this morning, make the right choice. The right choice is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Same thing as Christians. We make a choice every day. Choice every day. How am I going to treat this book? Is it really the Word of God, or is it just another book that we use at church on Sunday? Is it really is this really God's book? If we really believed that this was God's book, I'll tell you what, we'd spend a whole lot more time in it than we do. And I know I'm preaching to the folks that are here this morning, but if we really believe that these times on Sunday and Wednesday night were ordained by God as times that he wanted to teach us and rebuke us and encourage us, we'd be here. We'd be here. We have a choice. God has warned us. We cannot get by without him. Cannot. In any area of our life, we cannot get by without him. He did not make us that way. He made us to be a dependent people. The Bible says without faith, and that's what faith is, depending on God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he wants us to depend on him and lean on him. Will you do that this morning? If you're here and you're not saved, you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian, we need to live every day of our life dependent on God, knowing that he's God, knowing that he wants us to lean on him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the stories that you put in this book, not made-up stories, but true stories, stories of men and women just like us who had to learn lessons the hard way. And Father, I pray that as we've talked about Belshazzar this morning and the lesson he did not learn, that we would not have to learn the lessons the hard way, that we would pay attention to this book and we'd pay attention to our Sunday school teachers and our preachers and we'd pay attention to the examples of people around us and we would learn to depend on you. And we would, Father, lean on you. Again, I pray for those that are here that are not saved. I pray that they would ask Jesus to be their Savior this morning. I pray for the Christians that are here that are trying to live their life apart from you. I pray, Father, that we would get back to you and we would acknowledge you as God in every area of our life and live our life accordingly. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to bring honor and glory to our Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.